Hey, Sleep to Strange listeners. I don't mean to interrupt your regularly scheduled program, but Sleep to Strange is a special feed I make, you know, for you super fans that don't like intros or music, or you just want to get straight to the stories. And I've been doing it, like the podcast, in my time on the weekends at night when I'm not at work. And now I have to really ask for your help, especially if you listen to Sleep to Strange. If you can go to sleepwithmepodcast.com/patron or find us on Patreon. The work of the podcast, it's never been sustainable. I've just been pushing hard to build something. And now I'm trying to figure out a way to keep it going long term. And in order to make the 12 Sleep With Me shows a week, then release the 8 Sleep to Strange shows and all the other work, it's just not possible long term with my full-time job, even with the little bit of help I've been able to use money to hire. And the first thing I'm going to have to draw back on is things like this, because it just takes, even the Sleep to Strange, I edit the shows, and I have to re-upload them and do different things. So if you really like Sleep to Strange, please support the show, even at $1 a month, whatever you can afford. And the monthly donation thing is important, because it lets me know, okay, this is a sustainable thing, it's supported month after month. And if you just listen to Sleep to Strange and you support the show, let me know. So then I know, okay, there's people listening to Sleep to Strange and I need to keep it going. I mean, I don't plan on getting rid of it. I want to keep making Sleep With Me 12 times a month and keep being able to release the Sleep to Strange episodes twice a week. But let me know. Support Sleep to Strange, please. And let me know when I can keep making this. I'm trying to get to by the end of June, get up to 2,000 patrons. And then by the end of the summer, have enough patrons that I can say, okay, I can transition into this and I can keep doing everything at the current rate. So please, if you enjoy the show, you get value out of it. Please don't wait. Go to sleepwithmepodcast.com/patron or go to patreon.com and look for Sleep With Me. All right. Thanks so much. And here's your show. All right. So we last left off last week with the Tales of Lady Witchbeard. What happened was Phage, Germ, had gone and met with the gods. They said, hey, go fix this mess you made with this Cortez. We don't want to have to mess with the earth, but we don't like this Cortez. We don't want him messing with us with this powerful pyramid. And if you want to try to protect everybody, you know, go and do something, you know, make it right. And I said, okay. And then I left. And then after I left, I said, oh, man, I'm not very good at fixing stuff. And I'm the kind of person that can get talked in anything, especially by a salesman type like Cortez. So how am I going to talk him into working something out with the Aztec gods or the different gods of these people's belief systems? And I was kind of feeling down. And then I got picked on by a couple drunk conquistadors. But then I ran into my old buddy, DeAndre, a.k.a. Bob. Oh, Scooter, I'm ready to record. Okay, but DeAndre, the giant. And he was this, you know, actual giant, like a hill giant or something. And he just lended me a friendly ear. He said, well, tell me what's going on. I said, well, geez, you know, I'm kind of trying to make this work stuff out. I don't like Cortez. He said, well, maybe you're jealous. And I said, I want to protect everybody, but he's got this beef with the gods, and he wants to activate the pyramid to blast the old gods. He's power hungry. And then DeAndre said, and I said, well, the thing was the pyramid's not going to work because I did a switcher with the stones, and then the stone got blown up when the gods threw that big thunderbolt at Earth. So he can't use the pyramid to get, and I said, oh, wait a second, that's exactly what the gods wanted. And they said, this is really going to work out for the gods because they could just mess with Cortez and let him think he's the alpha, let him think he's in control, and you know, just string him along, you know, Sisyphus style or some, you know, Sisyphean or whatever, you know, choose your futility, you know, who's your favorite futile figure? You, Scooter, that's why I listen to your podcast. Oh, thanks so much. You could be the poster boy for futility. That would be sweet. She's going to be a poster boy. That's all I got, you know, who cares? I mean, a lot of people be like, oh, psh. They say, me and Sisyphus giving each other a high five, and the other guys, the guy with the water, the stone guy, or was which one was Sisyphus? I don't even know. Was he the one with the stone? I think so. But there's a dude with the water, a couple other dudes. I don't know. Who's your favorite? I guess I am narcissistic Sisyphean, I guess. That's what the last therapist said when he threw me out of his office, too. Except he didn't use Sisyphean. He used another word. Started with S and ended with, you know, another word that ended with H-O-L-E. The first word, that was narcissistic. I was like, oh, wait, the gods are getting what they wanted. And then me and DeAndre watched, and it seemed like Cortez was getting what he wanted, because I think he was marrying Marina. I'm not sure he was marrying Lady Witchbeard or not. I'm still not clear on that. And then Marina, she seemed to truly love Cortez, or not Cortez. And I don't think, again, I always talk about this, but I don't think the history books talk about his devastating, good looks. You know, I guess he's got a bit of an evil boy thing, not a bad boy thing, but, you know, he's got that conquistador vibe going. So Marina loves him, and he's also very capable, witty, you know, but I don't like him. I kind of like him, but in a, you know, one of those weird ways, like I wish I was him, but then I would, you already don't like yourself, so what would the difference be? You'd just be, then you wouldn't like yourself, but you'd be great. But Marina was getting what she wanted because she wanted Cortez safe and she wanted to be with him, I think. And then Lady Witchbeard was on this quest or mission to save magic at all costs, protect magic. And it seemed like magic was going to be fine. Lady Witchbeard was there. She was training Marina. So she was kind of like getting like this mentor vibe going, and they seemed to like each other. So I said, "Lady, everybody's kind of getting there what they wanted." And then the method for me to return home to, like, in real time, because I had crossed over into this other world, you know. This wasn't a time travel situation. It was a trans dementia, you know. I don't know, one of those things. Just like in the moment in Interstellar, I don't know if anybody saw, but I'm sure many other, you know, where universes bend and almost touch type stuff. So this is like maybe a parallel universe, maybe not, I don't know. And I wanted to get back, I had the chance to return to my world, so, you know, I didn't want to miss out on that. And so everybody seemed to, and that's all I wanted, you know, not to be delayed and return and have my, so... Everybody seemed what they were getting, what they wanted, but my gut was like, hey, I don't know about this. Like, can we really trust Cortez? So right when I was supposed to leave, I didn't leave because I didn't trust Cortez. And I think I saw something. I said, well, yeah, this guy, he's a conquistador. What was I thinking? You don't give a conquistador what they want. And I was also worried about, you know, all the people, like Cortez, I guess I should have studied more in history. Whatever he supposedly did to the people, the conquistador stuff, stealing the gold, you know, disturbing their way of life that they had a right to, I guess I would say, is the simplest terms. So I said, well, geez, I got to take a stand. And then I said, well, geez, is this motivated by jealousy or envy or the really bad one? What's that? Is that envy? Is there something worse than envy? But I said, well, let me stay and figure that out. And maybe save the day somehow. So that's where we last left off, I guess. And Antonio Banderas is a little, oh, here he is. You brought your own cup, huh? And this, you had that. Did you bring your own Brita filter? Because you know how much those things cost? Oh, boy. Okay, here he is. It's the Tales of Lady Witchbeard. Har, yeah, har. Was the tales of Lady Witchbeard. Har, har. My friend, bring my own Brita filter. You know, last week I was dehydrated. I said, to stop at Bishop Ranch. And, okay, well, see, I'm not again. Thank you, Antonio. Next week I'll give you some water if you have a Brita filter. I said, bring my own pitcher. Well, there's this 7-Eleven around the corner, you know. Oh, thank you, the best, so, man. Have you been listening to this, your parts? Oh, yes, I sound so damn good. The tales of Lady Witchbeard. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, my friend, it's worth it. It's good. All right, tales of Lady Witchbeard. All right, so when we pick up, DeAndre and I are just sitting there. And okay, so I guess you kind of caught me in a dull moment, believe it or not. Because we're actually just sitting there eating some stuff, drinking. And we had kind of reconnected with Bach and all those people. But said, let's keep it on the down low. And then DeAndre, Fagy, what's your plan, Fagy? Yeah, well, I'm working on a plan right now, DeAndre. I don't have to worry about being with Andre the Giant, right, DeAndre? Yeah, we don't have to rhyme, Fagy. Fage. But here's what I'm thinking, DeAndre. I'm thinking that Lady Witchbeard, Cortez and Marina think I'm gone. So we have the element of surprise, you know, limited by, you know, my, you know, that I could mess up. Let's just get everything out on the this thing that we're using as a table here. The ground, Fagy? I like how you're calling me Fagy now, DeAndre. Thank you for that. When I talked to you privately, and I said, remember though, I said I prefer the Fage to Fagy or Germ. So now I kind of miss Lady Witchbeard so much, I miss her calling me the Germ. Fage. Fagy. What's your plan? Well, we have the element of surprise. Now, let me tell you, I know you haven't been to my world. I've never been. I couldn't even imagine what it would be like, Fagy. The wonders of your world. Yeah, that's a little sick there, Bob. Sorry. But, in my world, once upon a time, we had a movie based on a TV show called The A-Team. And that was a genre of shows. I don't know what the genre was called. It was just A-Team-like shows. You had Hunter, and you had the guys with the helicopter. I forget what that was called. And then you had Remington Steele one. I think that was called Remington Steele. Pierce Brosnan was on that. Tell me more about this A-Team, Fagy. Well, yes, yeah, like I was saying, DeAndre, they were a team. I can't, you know, I'm not good at remembering stuff, but they were like a crack team. Something else happened, similar to what happened to Rambo, but to them as a team. And then they were forced to travel the globe, much like the Doctor, much like tons of stuff. But the A-Team had this special thing. I think I already talked about it, where they would have a plan. Now, Hunter, I believe, who was played by Fred Dreyer. And this all happened in the 80s when a lot of people weren't. But I was just a lad. But these were, you know, some kids studied at school. Some kids, you know, interacted with other humans. Some kids did other stuff. For me, I watched reruns. I guess they were reruns. But so Hunter said, I love it when a plan comes together. Or B.A. They had this guy, B.A. Baracus. And the thing about this is they always would do something. So I'm thinking we're going to do something like the A-Team. It'll be me, you, and all these wonderful people, all these wonderful people that have been displaced that hopefully we could return to their proper homes. But we'll come together with a plan. Now, if we had an 80s Radio Shack, that would be ideal. Oh, Fagey, what's a Shadio Rack? Shadio Rack, Radio Shack, in the 1980s, it was this place of wonder for a short period of time. And then it became a place where you could only buy remote control cars. And then it became a place where you buy cell phones. And I don't know, I don't want to go down that road, but before it just sold remote control cars, it had these glory days where it sold electronics, it sold computing power beyond your wildest imaginations. Oh, Fagey, don't ask what a computer is standard. We don't have time to get distracted by that. But they sold electronics kits and, I believe, chemistry kits, which we could both use right now. Because I wonder, when I was in my 18 mode and my bond phase, which I combined together, you know, with my Fred Fry, you know, I tried to mash all that up. And there was a brief time I had access to both the chemistry set and an electronics kit. Now, stay with me, DeAndre. I know this is, it doesn't make any sense to you. But I'm guessing there's giant-sized brain in that giant head of yours, or stone, whatever you call your head. Stead. Do they call your heads as steads? No, Fagey, it's just me head. Okay, well, when I did, I tried to make something inside of a, I guess it was a probably a jewelry box, and I said I put some, you know, chemistry stuff in there and some electric stuff in there. And the piece, this is where I'm thinking, because we have that overheating stone up there that everyone thinks this pyramid's going to work with taking the magic and distributing the magic. They don't know this stone is the wrinkle, the overheating stone. But I used to take 2 9-volt batteries, which were just like that stone up there, but it had an interlocking piece, and when you interlock 2 9-volt batteries, they would start to heat up just like that stone. And I used that to create a bed of every chemical in the chemistry set, extra sulfur, and I think it even had charcoal, which I said, that's, you know, got to be do something. And then I think I put in a little bit of nail polish remover. I used to use that for everything when I was a kid. All the danger, that was the most dangerous thing I had access to. I think I soaked some cotton, like the cotton thing that comes to protect the jewelry. I soaked that in. And then I said, okay, and then let me just see if I can tear any wires out of my perfectly good toys that I got so much fun from playing with, but I decided to strip some wires out of there. And I, you know, plugged some wires in. And then I said, well, just this thing needs a fuse, too. Like, there's always a fuse on the A-team. Sometimes multiple fuses. I said, well, geez, ideally I'd have one that could go, like, 30, 40 feet. So, oh, Fagey, this is, I feel like I can understand the A-team now. This is exciting. Yeah, well, hold on to your stead, you know, be hold tight, because... So then I designed a, which is like a torch, you know, but it goes into the chemistry electricity. I knew this was going to, I said, this is going to be, the I said, this is a firework. And they said, this will just be the first one. And then I'll, you know, then I can make millions or just become famous, you know, be on the cover of Scholastic Weekly or whatever, you know, 4th of July celebration ran by this kid. Little I know, none of that, you know, the best case scenario would have been, you know, on there as a warning. But I got all of it set up. I made a toilet paper, fuse. Brought everything outside, you know, far enough from the house in this field where there was plenty of clearance. And then I said to myself, go get some. So then I hit it and I went and got some matches. Any kids don't play with matches ever. Never, never, ever, 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 even outside. It is, I got lucky here because of my own buffoonery, but you are not a buffoon like I am. And you can't count on your buffoonery to save the day. you know, except in fictional stories. That's the only time it works. So don't, you know, no two true life matches. But I had these matches. I lit the fuse. The fuse began to burn. It began to work its way towards the box. Also, in order to concentrate, you know, power of it, I taped like every piece of tape, duct tape, electrical tape around this thing. And the fuse burned. Oh, the fuse burned, Fagey. And it burned down lower, lower. And then it went in. And then nothing happened. And then nothing happened. And basically, spoiler, nothing ever, you said, geez, tried burning, you know. I think the tape may have been fire resistant. Then the battery, I opened it up, the batteries had died. It also been, everything smelled like nail polish remover. And was covered in, you know, dried, you know, dried safe chemicals. I didn't realize they had a plan with these chemistry sets. Even then, you know, where you'd have to have actual chemistry knowledge to, you know, to figure it out. So that's what I'm thinking, DeAndre. In this case, we got something way more powerful than a 9-volt battery. Okay, Fagey, let me see if I can gotcha. So you couldn't make that box go, like, do something wild, but you have a plan just like that, that one. Right, so here's what I'm thinking. We're going to do some stuff to the pyramid and get that stone, and we'll overload the stone. Oh, don't you have a... Oh, Fagey. Okay. And we'll somehow... I don't have the whole plan yet, but... okay, well, tell me about the plan that you do have so far. Overload the stone. Okay, Fagey, how are we going to do that? Well, let's see. I was thinking, hey, let's call Bach over. Hey, Bach, come over here. And then Bach came over. Bach had just been listening to this whole time. And Bach knew about A-Team because he's a god. You know, he had access to DVR, you know, other people's logins probably. You know, they don't even need to ask you your password. They just know it because they don't know how about trans-dimensional. Is that in the Digital Millennium Copyright Act, you know? Using a password in an alternative universe? I don't know. But anyway, and I said, listen, I said, Bach, you and DeAndre, do you guys have a lot of gold or copper, or, you know, lying around you could find to get these people? And he said, oh, yeah, we got tons. And he said, all right, Bach, I'm going to put you in charge of any flat gold or... And they said, oh, boy, is gold the conductor? And they both were like, conductor of what? And they said, like, magical power. I said, I think everything with gold costs more, all the plugs, so it's got to be, ideally it conducts. I said, tell you what, get some gold. Do you know what copper, you guys got copper in box, you know, he's dealt. He said, okay. And I said, make sure it's flat. I said, we're gonna cover the pyramid in gold and channel all the energy. And then Fagey, how are we going to get the gold onto the end of the pyramid to stay? Because I could see it sliding off because it's so slopey. That's a good question. We need something like glue, like some sticky. Oh boy, what about, you know, what double bump, like something that'll add, it'll stick and do something. What about that green goop, DeAndre? Do you think any of that green goop survived the thunderbolts of the gods? Oh, Fagey, I'm sure, because it was bubbling. It was a natural green goop spring. So it's probably still there. It's just do a little in a giant. You could dig real fast, huh? Oh, Fagey, I can. And then here's what I'm thinking, DeAndre. You know, get some dust from there. How good is your spatial relations? Oh, Fagey, I have the best spatial relations. Okay, well, see if you can get to the, see if you can find some of the dust from the magic rock. Get some of that and mix that in the green goop and then bring it back and bring some people, bring some ceramic or clay jars. And you know, you and Bach get on that, and then they were sitting there, And I said, well, we'll put the goop on. We'll sprinkle, magic dust goop combo, gold or copper or whatever we get. Channel the energy into the stone. And then what, Fagey? Well, then the stone will probably get hotter. It might even overload. Possibly we get Cortez up there. I'll figure it out. Don't worry. Don't worry. I could do a recharge of the coat of many colors. Does that still work, Fagey? Not right now, but you could use this. We'll do something. And while we do that, I'm going to recon. I've been watching Cortez, and I'll keep an eye on him because it's going to take, how long will it take you guys? A couple of days or something. Oh, we're on it. We're on it, Fagey. I'll be gathering goop. Gathering goop. Good goodness. By gosh. I got to say by gosh. Okay. Great guys. Okay, break. So we broke. And Bach gathered up his team, and I don't know where they went to get the gold. I said, geez, I hope they're not pillaging, stealing any. I did think that for a second, but I mostly was concerned about myself, my plan. And then DeAndre went off to go get the goop. Great that he's getting the goop, the green goop. It was glowing green goop that he was going to get, which was great. And magic dust, ideally, because I'm like, man, you get some magic dust, it should do something, hopefully. Magic rock dust. And then I used the power of surprise. And I said to myself, those of you that are familiar with the 18 movie or TV, I said, don't be Murdoch, okay? Don't be Murdoch. And I said, should I be more? I said, geez, I don't know if I could be Face. But I said, Face is a good one at pretending stuff. He's the corporal or whoever the hell that guy was. The commander, I don't know what I want to call him, the corporal, and then B.A., so I said, don't. So I just hid and watched the camp. And everything seemed to be the camp was still, I guess they didn't have the wedding yet. Or maybe they did. I don't know. It didn't seem important. But the camp seemed to be a flurry of activity during the day, but mostly just feeding and socializing. So maybe they were still in some relaxation state. But Marina was training with Lady Witchbeard, and Cortez was training, talking and pressing. Mostly looked like a politician. And I couldn't really hear because I said, don't get to, don't screw this up. Obviously, I've made some mistakes. I've learned from them. But then I noticed, I said, let's observe camp nonstop. Also because I was on an anthill. So that kept me, I said, I can't get, But so I was watching camp, and I noticed the first night Cortez got up after the entire camp went to sleep, including Lady Witchbeard. And he went into the hall where the Palace of the Sun, I think is what it's technically called. He snuck in there, and he was in there a long time. And then the next night came, he did the same thing. And then the next night came, and then Marina went in with him. And then Marina came out. He didn't come out, and they came out later. And he looked tired, and he looked concerned. And then another night came, he did it again. And those guys hadn't gotten back, but I said, well, that's good. That means they're getting a lot of gold and stuff. And I said, well, tonight I'm going to go and hide in there before Cortez gets in there. And actually, when I was getting ready to do it, Bach came back, and they had a ton of gold. And I said, okay, get all this ready. We're going to put it in the pyramid one night or something. Find out who's good at, making pieces. Figure it out. And Bach said, I got it. And I said, all right, I'm going on recon. So then I went down to the palace, and I snuck in, and I said to myself, if I was Cortez, I'd want to know all the angles. This is a sharp guy. He's been in the hall. He must be talking to Montezuma, who kind of seemed like he just gave up leadership to Cortez, I think. I don't know. I don't know. And I said, Cortez is probably going to be in here looking at the exhibits, trying to predict the future, interpret the future. So I got into it. I said, well, let me get into the old sand pit. So I climbed into the sand, and that was like sand art, you know, multiple layers of colored sand. What do you call that, though? It had, you know, the extra fact that it could, you know, that it was a predictor of the future. I don't know the vocabulary word right now, but I do get dug in there. Now, if anyone's listening, I am a professional sand crawler. So don't go crawling in any sand following my bad example. Because I burrowed down there, but I knew what I was doing. I had all the proper equipment. Like I'm a burrower, and I, you know, I've been around. You know, I do know what I'm doing in this case. So don't ever burrow into sand. But I knew what I was doing, so I burrowed in there, and I got up close to the glass. And because I had kept my eyes closed, I said, "Well, geez, I'm gonna have to keep my eyes closed." But I had taken a cup, and it was like a clay, some sort of hard cup. It was a clay cup, I'm guessing. And I said, I'll try the old eavesdrop move. I won't even need to see, and then they'll barely see the outline of the cup. Maybe he'll think it's something, but I had it down at a corner of the glass, and I had my ear up against it, and I said, I remember all the times I tried to try that with a glass, like listening to people's conversations, and sometimes it would work. Whatever, then I heard noises coming, and I said, oh boy, here we go. And Cortez walked the hall by himself, and he would stop at each exhibit, because then I couldn't take it. You know, I said, I can't just listen. Once I heard him walk away from me, you know, I pressed my face up against the glass. I said, well, he probably won't be able to see me with all the sand and other things. And I said, well, you know, at this point, I'm in this multicolored layers of sand. And I don't know, but he didn't catch me. He walked, and he would stop at each exhibit. He had his arms. Sometimes they were crossed. Sometimes they were at his side. He didn't have pockets. Sometimes he held them behind their back. And actually, believe it or not, there was one point where he was watching and staring at the one that was pitch dark. And he started playing breastplate drums on his little conquistador breastplate, and he was a dude play. And I said, he's even good at breastplate drums. And this tale had started with me playing Lady Witchbeard's breastbone, you know, not near her breasts, you know, but playing her breastbone just as a test, you know, as a medical test. But he was playing the drums, breastplate drums. Breastplate drums. Oh, breastplate. That's what it's called, right? And then he would go to every, and then I heard other footsteps. And Marina came. And then I said, oh, you know, I rolled over. I put my ear up. And I got into super quiet mode. And I started talking. And for a while, it was just like, like Mumble Bear was a man. So I tried maneuvering and angling, and then they came to the dark exhibit, and they watched, and Marina said, they were even holding hands. And she said, I've always found this one as clear as day, so perplexing, she said to him. It's just total blackness. What could it possibly mean about the future? And Cortez said, and I said, damn, I hate this guy, because he said, not total darkness, my dear. Watch carefully. And he said, see that one light there. That one light there. And then she said, I do see it so faintly. But she goes, now I can't see, you know, I can't not see it. She said, it's enchanting. And he said, it's dangerous. And she said, what is it? He said, a lure. He goes, it's a trick. He goes, deep in the sea, there's a legend of a fish. A fisher fish that dangles a little light to capture other fish. And she said, who? I thought you said it. And he said, yes, yes. And Marina said, well, what do you think it means for our future? And he said, a little bait to catch someone, a little trick to catch what we need. You see, he goes, it's telling us the way, my dear. And then he kind of cut out, but I'm pretty sure he said, you know, because the pyramid is our lure, and we will lure her up there and then be done with her. And Marita said, Lady Witchbeard? And he said, of course, Lady Witchbeard. He goes, you've almost got the skills you need. He goes, we have all the power we need. We have the answers. I have the love of the people is increasing moment by moment. And she said, well, I kind of like Lady Witchbeard. And he said, you know, yeah, he says, this is what needs to be, you know, blah, blah, blah. I don't know, because I was grinding my teeth, I couldn't. But she said, fine, fine. And then she kind of stormed off. And then Cortez turned to the, I think it was the, I don't know if it was the antelope exhibit, some sort of wild game exhibit. And he went right up to the doe-eyed, you know, doe-eyed lope, antelope or whatever. Could have been a wildebeest. I love wildebeests. But he looked at the, because then I was looking again. And he looked at the wildebeest or the doe-eyed antelope. And he said, you will be next, Marina. And he said, and then all the magic of the world will be mine to do with as I please, to treat these people. And then he crossed over. I said, I thought it said, do not, you know, touch the exhibit. But he crossed over the exhibit and he patted the little doe-eyed thing on the head that was just sitting. I said, is it moving? Like, it's still looking at him like he's a, you know, it's making doe eyes at him. I know it's a, some sort of doe. But he said, you'll be the last piece of my plan because I know what's best for all these people. And then he said, and then again, I couldn't hear, but I think he was bad-mouthing whoever it was, Ferdinand and Queen Penelope or somebody, you know, whoever it was, Isabella maybe? I don't know, my Spanish conquistador era royalty from alternative universe. I mean, let's be honest, I barely even know what a conquistador is. But I do know what a conquistador is because I knew I was listening to him. And I said, I want to climb through this glass. And I said, well, geez, there's nothing I could. And I said, Cortez. And then I thought to myself, well, he's overconfident. And then he strolled out of there. And then I started to climb out of the sand. And then I said, oh, crap. Like, first of all, I don't know, this is a little embarrassing because I didn't disclose this. But at some point, I started just wearing the coat of many colors, no shirt. So I kind of looked like a cross between like the Daniel Caruso type character in a suit coat with no shirt on. And, you know, some sort of strange character in like a, you know, with a strange coat on, like you'd see maybe in a Wes Anderson movie. Who's that guy with the rainbow coat? Well, that's Rainbow Coat Guy. I mean, they'd have a better, you know, better material. But well, I noticed that sand had gotten, you know, between my coat and my, you know, my whole body was covered in colored sand. And I said, geez, I looked and my skin had turned rainbow colors. And I said, this is just terrific. They said, were they? And I said, oh, yeah, these are non-toxic dyes. So they're not probably color, you know, they're not color fast, they're not skin fast. Then I was sitting there and I said, geez. And then I said, this is kind of cool. Like, I was fully, and I said, well, in some sense, I just had rainbow skin. I can't explain it any other way than that. And it was cool, you know, looking at the way the colors would fit. You know, I guess I got distracted with my own, in my rainbow coat. I didn't do so hot. It kind of just looked like a brownish, purplish, blackish mess. But then I sat there. I heard a noise close by to me, and the sand started to shift. And, you know, since I'm a professional sandbird, I said, oh, boy, my sand cave in. And I rolled to my side, and right as I did, I felt something squishy, And as I heard vroof, and I said, I know that vroof. And I rolled back, and then that person extricated themselves from the sand. And it was Lady Witchbeard, and she looked over at me, and she gave me this look like, and then she burst out laughing because I was rainbow. And I said, man, this is definitely, you know, I said, geez, I can't stay away from the, it's like the Revenge of the Crayola Boys or something. But once she stopped once Lady Witchbeard stopped laughing, she said, well, Germ, what are you doing here? And she said, I knew you were in the sand, but I was trying to keep quiet. She said, you're supposed to be gone. And I said, Lady Witchbeard, did you hear Cortez is going to get you? And she said, do you think I am a fool? I've sailed the 11 seas. You know, she went into her old day, you know, routine about how badass pirate she is. And I said, okay, she said, I'm well aware of who Cortez is. And I said, and he's going to do something Marina, I think. And she said, I know, Germ. And I said, does Marina know? And she said, no, that's, she goes, I know now. I didn't know about that. But she goes, I had a plan to save magic and deal with Cortez, but you ruined it. And I said, well, how'd I ruin it? And she said, I can no longer execute the plan now. And I said, well, what was your plan? And basically, she told it to me, but it was, she said she was going to get to the top of the pyramid, over to, similar to my plan, but with a live pyramid, not a, you know, a secondhand stone that I had replaced. Because she said, and then blow the pyramid up, redistributing magic everywhere, but also, you know, like bringing the charge to herself and Cortez, and maybe even Marina. And I think leveling the area, but you know, her priority was to save magic first. Probably take out Cortez second. And then, unfortunately, I guess she was hoping that, and I think we talked about it, and she said, well, I was, you know, done some warning to give a, but she said, I know you wouldn't have, you know, I don't want you near here because you've just come anyway and try to be a fool and get in. And I said, you can't hurt my feelings and chase me. She said, well, I don't want you to be hurt. I want you to go home. And I wanted to hug her. But when I went to hug her, she said, no, I don't need the rainbow. Because I said, how come you're still green? But I noticed, you know, she had a long sleeve black shirt on, long black pants, and the, you know, the, what do you call that thing, bandana type thing. And I said, well, your plan wouldn't work. And she said, why? I said, I've changed stones. The stone on the top of the pyramid does not work. It's not a magic stone. It's a, you know, but remember I was telling you about that refurbished font, like it was refurbished. It doesn't work right. And that took forever, you know, a safety, but we went back and forth about that. She got real mad. And then I said, well, geez, what do you know this? And then she got mad. She said, oh, the magic's locked in the pyramid. And I said, well, just still a little left. And she said, that was never enough for us. She goes, we're on the verge of redistributing the magic across the universes equally. You know, I think that's what she thought. And I said, what do you, did you do a study first? Because I don't know. And did you talk to any, you know, astrophysicists about this? So it took forever. But finally I said, listen, I got a backup plan. It's similar to your plan. But you know, just some, you know, improvising, you know, A-team style. Remember when we watched the A-team marathon? And she said, B.A. Baracus. She really liked B.A. I never asked her how she felt about Mr. T, but she loved B.A. Baracus. And, you know, of course, you know, she would try to be like, you know who you remind me of? Who's the guy with the, and she'd say, you know, Murdoch. And actually, one year she bought me a Murdoch jacket for Christmas. And I said, thanks for nothing. But, I say, come on, let's go see my plan. And we went to the place where, you know, my people were gathered. And Bach and DeAndre were back, and DeAndre said, "I've got the goop." And then they were all surprised that Lady Witchbeard was there. I have an extra layer of the plan now. Here's what we're going to do. We're gonna cover the pyramid in gold and copper and goop and magic dust. Overload that rock. We're going to get Cortez up there. We're going to do some improvising. And they said, "Well, how are we going to?" And I said, "Me, I'm not here. This is a wedding present from, you know, you guys, and an offering from the gods to cover the pyramid in gold one night." And I said, and they said, "Oh, yeah, we can do it one night." And DeAndre's on it. And I said, "Tomorrow, when Cortez awakes, he'll have gold fever, I think, probably. You know, I've watched enough cartoons. Conquistador Cartoon Hour. I think I pitched that to, maybe I didn't, but that, you know, that might be good. Was my point. And I said, and then we'll get Cortez up there. And Stone will, I said, I'll think, I said, we're going to channel the pyramid's energy up there. But let's get phase one, you know, let's get phase one going." Lady Witchbeard wasn't saying anything. I think she was thinking. And I said, "You better get back to camp, Lady Witchbeard, and go to bed. We got a long night ahead of us, you know, because it was like 1 in the morning, 2 in the morning. And, you know, then everybody went to work. But it was a good place to stop because work is so boring, you know, putting stuff on a pyramid. Beautiful gold leaf or, you know, gold sheets. So we'll pick up next week where we left off. But thanks for stopping by. You know, shining like a gold and copper, green goose. What could be more goopy and sticky than green goop? Magical bonds, you know, that's good. You always need that. If you're going to have a bond, you say, well, yeah, I could use a magical bond. Except, you know, if it's like super glue, you say, well, you got the remover because I don't want that bonded to me. So bond to your pillow, light bond to your pillow and your bed. And sink in so deeply, so restfully. You know, the whole camp of conquistadors, indigenous displaced people by the conquistadors and me, of a giant witch pirate, anybody, oh God, you know, demigod god, everyone's curled in. We can hear their breaths as they rest. And it's so peaceful to just to sit up here and observe it. From the shining golden copper pyramid type thing. And say, I wonder if it's going to get hot or it'll reflect the sun and get something out. Well, this problem we'll have to solve next week. Good night.